chapter 8 of Revelation. So we'll go to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8, and we'll read the entire chapter. Touch a little bit on what we talked about last week, but then we'll be looking at verses 8 through 13 for the most part this morning. But Revelation chapter 8, starting verse number 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with prayers of all saints on the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar, cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. The seven angels with the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hell and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast in the sea. The third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. The third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. And last week we kind of talked about obviously the first seal that is opened by Christ. Reveals 30 minutes of silence in heaven. It reveals God answering the prayers of all saints throughout all ages, and the prayers be mixed with the incense and the fire from the altar being cast down to the earth. And once that angel cast his censer to the earth with the prayer of the saints and the fire from the altar of God, there are voices that he hears, thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Just again, the judgment of God is just ramping up. It's when the angel says, whoa, 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 by reason of the other three trumpets that still have to sound, that whenever we read in the Bible, you see that word, whoa, it's not a good thing. All right, it's not a good thing. It means there's judgment coming, and with these, it's going to get worse. All right, and we'll look at it more as the end here, Lord willing. But we see that, again, the seventh seal is opened. We see the silence in heaven and then the prayers of the saints being answered by the righteous judge. We looked at last week the seven angels preparing themselves to sound. The first angel sounds the trumpet, and there is hell and fire mingled with blood coming down from the heavens. We kind of talked about possibly what that could be in regards to the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, when God rained fire and brimstone down. And as far as archaeologists can tell, and even one man by the name of Ron White, finding the site that could be Sodom and Gomorrah, finding all these little sulfur balls that do burn when you do light them. Again, There's no, one thing we have to remind ourselves, there's nothing that God cannot do. Again, a lot of Christians, a lot of Bible scholars, not a lot, but some of them that just want to spiritualize everything in the Bible. Like, none of it's physical, none of it really happens. It's all symbols of something else. There is nothing that God cannot do. There are things that seem strange, right? Things that are beyond our comprehension because we have never seen events like this in the history of mankind, not even in our own generation, and not even in just the time we're living in. And yet, this is the period of judgment upon this earth. You think about, I was thinking yesterday and kind of reread over notes and stuff. It still puzzles me that even after 1,000 years, when we get to it and the devil is chained up and thrown into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years to deceive the nations no more. After 1,000 years of Christ reigning, he's loosed again. And God's the one that loose him, lets him go, lets him out of the bottomless pit. And what does he do when you read in the Bible? Well, he gathers nations again against the Lord, against Christ, and against his people. And, you know, we often wonder, you know, why would God do that? I mean, he chained them and threw them in the bottomless pit. Why didn't he just judge them? Because he's a righteous judge. Think about it. How can God, all the enemies of God in one place so that Jesus Christ can judge and destroy the enemies of God? Well, he lets the deceiver loose who thinks, you know, I can't think for the devil, but humanly thinking, when someone who has not, who's been incarcerated and has not been rehabilitated and their thinking has not changed and they can't wait to get out to keep doing what got them into prison, as soon as they're set free because good behavior or whatever, you hear it over and over again. Some criminal go right back. As soon as they get out, they go commit the same crime that got them into prison. And you think, didn't that teach you a lesson? No, because the inside didn't change. Their heart didn't change. Until a person's heart is changed by the power of Christ, they're going to have the same thinking. The devil is never going to change. He is who he is. He's a thief, he's a murderer, he's a liar. And given the opportunity, that's what he wants to do. He wants to not only lead people against Christ, but he, in his mind, he thinks he's going to win, and yet he is destroyed. So again, I mean, things that we read in Revelation, some of it's beyond our comprehension. We just can't even imagine. Even when you get to chapter 9, the first woe that's mentioned in chapter 9 are these demonic creatures that are let out of the bottomless pit, and how the Bible describes it. And people have tried to paint pictures of what it might look like. Again, the human mind can't even imagine or fathom these creatures that God lets out. But again, when you look back at chapter 8, all right, chapter 8, and we have the first trumpet that brings hell and fire mingled with blood upon this world. And the result of this first trumpet judgment is a third of trees on this planet are burned up with all the grass. All right? And I probably misspoke because I think I might have told you all grass on the globe, but no, it's all grass where that third part of all trees is burnt up. Because you can imagine if the trees are burnt up, all the grass that's there too is burnt up as well, okay? So that's the first trumpet judgment. Now the second one, let's look at verse 8 and 9, because I don't believe we got here last week, but verse 8 and 9, the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain. Now he's saying, and as it were a great mountain, burning with fire, was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. Words are very important. Because notice when it talks about the great mountain burning, it says, as it were a great mountain burning. So it's not, John's not saying, you know, this is Mount Everest and it's cast into the sea. It says, as it were a great mountain. But when he says the sea became blood, he doesn't say the sea became like blood. It became blood. So this second trumpet judgment is a great mountain being cast down to the earth, as were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. Not coming down to the earth, but was cast into the sea. Again, it is supposed it could be a volcano. Okay. Again, we're not here for this. John doesn't say it's a volcano. I mean, he's describing in his vocabulary of his time what he sees. It's like a great mountain. So if it is some type of volcanic eruption that is so explosive. Now, I've never personally been in front of a volcano at any distance and seen it erupt. I've seen you documentaries and stuff, and you probably have too. And just the magnitude of some volcanoes when they erupt, all right? Some are less impressive. Others are just like a huge explosion, right? And it's incredible. Well, one of the largest volcanoes in the world is found on the island of Hawaii. And I don't know how to pronounce the Hawaiian names, but M-A-U-N-A and then L-O-A. Mauna Loa? That sounds right, isn't it? We'll just go with that. But anyway, this is the largest volcano in the world, and it is one of five volcanoes that make up island of Hawaii. Is the island of Hawaii is made up of five volcanoes? I don't know why people are living on that island, because this volcano is active. All right, it is active. I found some information on it. This is a news article from November 28, 2022. And back in November 2022, this volcano erupted. Now, it's still standing. It wasn't cast into the sea, because whatever this is in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 8, if it truly is some type of volcano that just explodes so tremendously that it's basically just annihilated. The whole thing just goes into the ocean. It blows up. Well, you think if there's five volcanoes making up this one island, that would be a pretty big explosion if all five of them just exploded. Not just typical explosion where the pressure under the earth from the lava, the gas, everything just builds up so much that the whole island just blows, right? So again, it's all really speculation, because we're not sure if this is what it is. And you think about this is the same volcano, you know. And either I forgot or I never knew, but they're actually in the midst when it is erupting among the gases and everything, there's lightning storms. I was watching a video yesterday of it, and it was like, wow, I didn't know that. You know, but you just imagine, you know, just the magnitude of a volcano. But when the Bible talks about this great mountain burning with fire cast into the sea, well, there have been some volcanoes, I forget which one it was, but where part of it did slide down into the ocean, because there are volcanoes that obviously that's all it is. It's an island. It's just a volcano that lives on it. Just the fact that if that is the case, I mean, again, God can do anything. I mean, we have to remember that God doesn't have to use the physical things we see to do what he wants to do. He can cause. He can already have a great mountain prepared that this angel, when he sounds a trumpet, is cast down from heaven upon this earth. Again, because God is going to be getting the attention of this world with his worldwide earthquake. And you think a third part of the trees and grass being burnt up. Whatever this is that happens, I mean, it's going to get people's attention. Now, just get an idea of the height of this volcano, this one on the island of Hawaii. It rises from the base of that, of this volcano. From the base, it rises to 55,700 feet. That is a huge volcano, all right? Again, it says about half of those past eruptions remained in the summit region on the top, which rises about 55,700 feet above its base. Most others migrated from the summit in one of the rift zones, producing lava flows that covered broad regions. I mean, you look this up, I mean, just, it's God can, and here's a picture of the island, and just there's that volcano, but then you have these other ones here as well. That again, if God caused that entire island, all of those volcanoes, maybe even more. I mean, we just don't know. But when you read, to be honest, I'm not here for it. I feel sorry. Honestly, there are those that believe we're still here for this. Because there's so many different theories on when the rapture happens. I mean, you probably have heard people teach, you know, as I believe in the tribulation rapture, where before the Antichrist is revealed, before God starts judging the world, through the 7-year tribulation, God takes his bride, he takes the church, he takes the born-again believers out. But there are some that believe that, no, we go through half of it. We've not been appointed unto wrath. God has saved us from the wrath to come. But again, whatever this may be, cast into the sea, and because of that, the result of this catastrophic event, one third part of the waters turns into blood. Notice again, it says in chapter 8 and verse 8, third part of the sea became blood. It does not say it became like blood, because like blood would mean, okay, it turned like a dark red color. Bible specifically says it became blood. Well, how can something cause water to become blood, to change from one state to another, from H2O to whatever blood is, I don't remember right. But you think, and it goes on to say in 9, in a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. So you think, okay, if it's a volcano eruption and all this lava, everything goes into the ocean, I think it could cause a third part of the seas. No, it's not just where it's at. But a third part globally, I mean, if you could, you know, take the world map, divide it into thirds, and think about, here's a third of the ocean waters, that's completely turned into blood, and a third of all the sea creatures die, and a third of the ships that are in that region, I'll say, are all destroyed. That's supernatural, that you can't explain that. But again, it's nothing God cannot do. To us, we're like, you can't turn water into blood. But God can. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7, looking at verse 7 through 25. Obviously, this is the Exodus from Egypt. God sends Moses back to Egypt after he spent 4 years on the backside of the desert as a shepherd, because as he fled from Egypt, he was an adopted son to Pharaoh's daughter, and he committed murder. He killed an Egyptian guard who was beating a Jew, and he killed and he ran for his life because Pharaoh had found out, and he's on the backside of the desert for 40 years. God sends him back because God hears the cries of his people. He's going to deliver them out of slavery, out of bondage. But there is somebody who refuses to let them go, and that's Pharaoh. Pharaoh refuses to let God's people go, and because he himself believes in God, and when Moses comes to him, and this is a different Pharaoh, this is not his, this would not be the father of the one that raised him, the father of the daughter that raised him. This is a different Pharaoh, a different king, and the first thing he says is, who's God? Because he says, saith the Lord, my people go, and he says, who's your God? I don't know him. Because they worship Pharaoh as a god. But you already know the account of just the plagues, the 10 plagues that God judges Egypt with. But one of those plagues is verse 17 through 25. Verse 17 through 25, thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink. And the Egyptians shall loathe drink of the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Aaron, take thy rod and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood. And there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and vessels of stone. So not just one place, but God caused the waters everywhere. Wherever there was water in Egypt, he turned it into blood. Not the color of blood, but literally turned it into blood. And guess what? Obviously, any fish that are in the rivers, ponds, die because you can't breathe. You can't, fish just cannot breathe. There's no oxygen that they can breathe. In verse 20, Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod, smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh, and the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank. And the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. So when we read back in Revelation chapter 8, it specifically says that the third part of the sea became blood. So God did four, and he's going to do it again. Therefore, all the living creatures in that third part of the waters, they die. But then about the ships. I mean, just think about the volume of blood that would be. I mean, the ocean is, in some parts, miles deep. There are some parts that we haven't even gone to. So you think about, miles deep of blood, miles wide, right? Just a third of the ocean. That's a lot of blood, and blood is thick. So guess what? Yes, the sea creatures die. But also the ships are destroyed because they can't float on blood. So guess what? All the people die that are on those ships as well because the ships sink and they all die. Third part of the creatures die. Third part of ships are destroyed. So that's not beyond anything that God can do. Now what is the great mountain? We don't know. Okay? Because again, he says, as it were a great mountain. All right? It could be, God could use a volcano to do that. However God does it, he turns the waters into blood like he did in the days of Moses. And this is the second trumpet judgment against this world. Like I had said last week, these judgments, yeah, God is judging the people of this world who have rejected him. He's judging Antichrist. He's judging his followers, but he's also judging their gods. Remember, back in Egypt, the 10 plagues were to prove who God was, to prove that Moses was a spokesman for God, but also it was a judgment against the gods that Pharaoh and the Egyptians worship. God, through his judgments here, is just destroying this earth. This earth that people are trying to save, Mother Earth. They're trying to, you know, get us to stop using automobiles. You know, we got to go electric. You know, we got to save of the planet and all of this because you have those that worship nature. They worship creature instead of the creator, right? So God judges their gods, right, by destroying this earth, because this earth is not going to help the heathen, the wicked, in that day. All right? Now look at verses 10 through 11. All right? So 10 through 11. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. The third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Now, this judgment, this trumpet judgment, speaks of a great star from heaven, all right? From outer space, not from God's throne, but from outer space, from heaven. And when you kind of look at the description and burning it were a lamp, that kind of makes you think of a comet. When there's been times you can see comets and they've got the tail, right, and it's burning. Okay. We can see where that possibly is what God is using. All right. Again, it's really speculation because God can use anything. But again, it says, there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. All right. So, here's a moment. Burning as it were a lamp. All right, that's a comment there. And there is, in 2014, all right, in the year 2014, they discovered the largest comet yet. And they are predicting that it will be in our skies or in our Milky Way where we can actually see it go across in the year 2031. They say by 2031, we should be able to see it. Right now, they say it's millions of miles away. Right. But this is, they claim that they have discovered this. They've measured how they're able to measure comets and stuff even at that distance. It still baffles me that they can do that. But they say that this new comet that they have discovered, they gave it the name of the two scientists that discovered it, and I can't pronounce their names. It seems to me there are Italian names, but Bernardinelli and Bernstein. Bernardinelli and Bernstein, they're the ones that discovered it, but then later they renamed it to C for comet. C 2014, because they just discovered it in 2014, UN 2271, so they changed the name. Anyway, this comet, they claim, measures 80 miles wide and 125 miles long. Now, this picture isn't the actual comet, that is just a depiction of a comet, but you think about 80 miles wide, 125 miles long. Is it what they're saying, claiming that this comet is, right? Now you think, if it's going to affect a third of the rivers and fountains of waters upon this earth, well, that needs to be pretty big. But God could also, I mean, you think about just this picture, if you just had this comet just slam into the earth, okay, I mean, it's going to cause an effect, but Also, God could just have it break up so that bits and bits and bits of pieces of it, thousands of pieces of it, could fall upon a third of the earth. And then, you know, however it's going to happen, it sounds like a comet. And the fact that they recently just discovered the largest, this is the largest comet ever discovered. Well, that's pretty big. And so that's pretty interesting. All right. But wormwood, it's called, give it the name wormwood, back in Revelation, gives it the name of wormwood because it makes the waters bitter. Now, I didn't, actually, maybe I did. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 29. Because the word wormwood means bitter. It appears nine times in the Bible, and it is an herb. Wormwood is an herb used in alcoholic drinks. Its oil contains the chemical, I don't know how to pronounce it, I'll say thujone, which may be, this is from WebMed, which may be poisonous. The thujone chemical in wormwood excites the central nervous system and can cause seizures and other adverse effects. Now on Healthline.com, they said of wormwood is a bitter herb known for being an ingredient in absinthe. I'm not sure how you say that. While it isn't hallucinogenic, its plant compound, thujone, can be toxic and even fatal in large amounts. So you'd think, if judgment before this is turning a third of the waters into blood, all that, again, people want fresh water. I mean, you need water. You need food and water to survive. And under the reign of the Antichrist, you can't buy, you can't sell unless you have the mark of the beast, right? But people will still try to find a way to provide for themselves, right? Because you're going to have those that refuse to take the mark of the beast, all right? So just thinking about that, what it is, I mean, something bitter, and it does chemical in it that is deadly, taken in large doses. So you think, whatever it is that does contaminate a third of the waters to this judgment, and men drink it, people drink it, will die, right? So look at Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 29, look at verse 18. Deuteronomy 29, verse 18. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. Speaking of bitterness. And God, he's talking about his people turning away from him. That will be their judgment, gall and wormwood. All right. Look at Proverbs chapter 5. Again, wormwood is an herb. It's a bitter herb, and God used it as an illustration for how it will go for his people in Deuteronomy if they turn away from the Lord. It's going to be bitter if you turn away from me. And he uses wormwood because they know what wormwood is. In Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 4. Proverb is the book of wisdom. Solomon writes these. And this is back up verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest guard your discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Speaking of a perverse woman, all right? But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Well, sharp as a two-edged sword kind of speaks of death, but her end is bitter as wormwood. All right, and it goes on. Let's see. We got some time here. Go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 15. Actually, let's back up. Back up to verse 13. And the Lord said, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them the water of gall to drink. Now, you think in the last days, why is judgment coming upon this earth in that seven-year tribulation? Because we rejected Christ. If it followed after the Antichrist. All right, so I mean, one of God's judgment is bitterness of water. Because why the waters? Well, who's the living water? Jesus Christ, right? So it really, you think about God, I mean, he is judging them, turning a third of the waters, the fountains of waters, into bitterness with this judgment of whatever this is coming out of the atmosphere, out of space, that turns the waters into bitter, and men drink, and a third of men die, what we're told in Jeremiah. There's some other places there, but for time's sake, let's go back to Revelation chapter 8. I mean, just the way people think, okay, fine, a third of the waters are turned to blood. Well, I'm not even over there, so it doesn't bother me. I still got my water here. Okay, so here comes next judgment, right? And God turns a third is blood. Now a third is turned into bitterness. You can't drink it. If you drink it, you're going to die. So, I mean, it's amazing. It is amazing because when you read through, even when you read in chapter 9, kind of jumping ahead here, chapter 9 speaks of these demonic creatures coming out of the bottomless pit, and they're like locusts. They're not locusts, it's like locusts. They have crowns on their head, long hair like a woman. I mean, they have a tail that stings, and they've been given the power to hurt men 5 months. And it says in chapter 9 that men will seek death because of the torment of these creatures, but death escapes them. No one dies from being tormented by these creatures, being stung by these creatures that have the power like a scorpion in their tail. And in chapter 9, it says, even though they're tormented 5 months, they do not repent. They do not turn to God. They just keep cursing God. And it's like, to me, it's like, are you dumb? Are you foolish? But you know what? They are, because they've been turned over to a crime because they rejected Christ. They rejected the Messiah. They rejected the Creator. Romans chapter 8 tells us that because they're lovers of themselves and lovers of the creature more than the Creator, God turns them over to a reprobate mind, that even though they are tormented, and who knows the health problems having because of the 5 months of being tormented by these creatures that sting them. I mean, again, I just wonder, and I don't watch movies or anything, but I hear about the zombie apocalypse. Different movies like that, you think, Hollywood's so foolish, but I wonder, will people for those 5 months that are seeking death because they're tormented? You don't know what it's doing to the body, and they're roaming around just wanting to die, and they can't, and their body is maybe being disfigured by whatever the poison is that has been injected from this creature, right? But the fact that death escapes, they will not die. They cannot die. You think, well, how is that possible? Remember, who has the keys of death and hell? Us. People refuse to believe in Christ now. They refuse to worship the living God. Yet, when they're faced with that, they still refuse. It baffles me. It baffles me, but at the same time, the Bible tells us, you know what? They've been turned over to a reprobate mind. Their heart is so hardened. Think about Pharaoh. When Pharaoh was being judged, let my people go. Let my people go, and he wouldn't. And there were a couple of times he says, okay, you know, he told Moses, I'll let them go, but, you know, oh God, God took away this curse, and the plague would be stayed, and he still wouldn't let them go. Even though he saw the power of God, yet he still refused to submit to God. It's just a hardness in the wickedness of man's heart. Man's heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it, right? And that's why people need Jesus Christ. But this judgment, this third trumpet judgment back in Revelation, again, it affects the sea. It affects the ships. That's the second one. The third one, this affects the water. The waters of the earth become bitter. No doubt people start dying because they're drinking of that water. You look at verse 12, the fourth angel. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened. And the day shone not for a third part of it, and night likewise. Imagine just how it's just building up, and it's building up. Judgments are getting worse. I mean, now you've got a third part of the seas are blood. Now a third part of the fountains of waters are made bitter. And all of this, now all of a sudden, a third part of the sun is darkened. A third part of the moon is darkened. As the sun shines not, or light doesn't shine for a third part of the day, man, that's about 4 hours. 4 hours a day that the sun shines. All right. Now, what could it be? What could cause it? I mean, it could be nuclear war again. Because with all the nuclear weapons and stockpiles and trees have and stuff, when God starts causing these world earthquakes and stuff and all the things he's doing, it'd just be a massive explosion. We don't know, but the fact that now here's the third part of the sun not shining, we've never seen that before. And again, if the third part of the sun isn't shining, what effect is that going to have upon this earth? Now, the Bible specifically says a third part of it not shining. Again, I know that with the volcano eruptions and stuff, and the plume, the cloud that comes down on all that, I mean, if it's a massive one that we talked about earlier that just blocks the sun, okay. But the Bible specifically says the sun doesn't shine a third part of it. So, I mean, again, there's nothing beyond God. You know, we try to reason with our human minds, and we try to think of what it could be. But again, God's ways are higher than our ways. Just like we can't imagine water being turned literally into blood, yet he did it. He did it with Moses against Pharaoh, against the Egyptians. And all the fish died and all that, and they couldn't find water to drink until God turned back to water. So there's nothing beyond God's capability, because again, God, when God starts judging this earth and the people during the tribulation, he's not going to leave it up to speculation of what it could be that's happening. He wants people to know the righteous judge is judging. I mean, this is what you've been warned about. This is what pastors have preached about. This is what missionaries have taught. This is what God's people have been trying to get people to understand. You don't want to be here for the wrath of God. You want to be saved by the Lamb of God. And lastly, look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." Three more trumpets need to be sounded That seventh trumpet will bring in the vial judgments that are poured out upon this earth. All right, but very quickly, I mean, the angel says, woe to the inhabitants by the reign of the other three. It just is going to get worse and worse. I mean, if it's not bad already with these trumpet judgments, the four trumpet judgments have been listed, the next three are going to bring more devastation. Now, the fifth trumpet, that will be, again, in chapter 9, it speaks about these demonic creatures that we talked a little bit about a moment ago. The demonic creatures tormenting many people for 5 months, and no one's able to die from these demonic creatures. They're tormenting them with stingers like scorpions. They have power like a scorpion. And then the sixth trumpet, which will be the second woe, that the angel speaks about, are four demonic angels being loosed out of the Euphrates River. But currently, right now, there are four angels that are pained in the Euphrates River. Now, you swim it, go down there, you're not going to see them, all right? But they are chained in the, I said Ephesians, didn't I? Say Ephesians River? Euphrates River, anyway. So God loosed the four demonic angels. They will kill a third of men. I mean, it gets worse and worse and worse. But for those during the tribulation that have not taken the mark of the beast, that are enduring into the end, martyred for their faith, being martyred for not taking the mark of the beast, but instead they're sealed by the mark of God, all right, in their foreheads, along with the 144,000 Jewish evangelists, God will watch over them, protect them. Yes, they're martyred for their life, but those that are enduring, those that God is protecting and so on, they're not harmed by the bitter waters. You know, again, there are some martyred for the faith, but there are those that will still be alive at the coming of Christ. The second part of the coming of Christ, he comes riding on the white horse with his army behind him, and that's us riding white horses as well. But again, we go through Revelation. There again, I've listened to quite a few Bible teachers and stuff, and there are some that, you know, I believe they play it safe and say, you know, we're not quite sure some of these things are. His speculations is like I said, and there's others that are like, oh no, it's that, and it has to be this, it has to be that, and we're not raptured out until the halfway point of the second part of the tribulation. It's like, you don't get that in the Bible, all right? Can't cause anyone to change their thinking if someone is dogmatic. No, we're here. There's some believe we're here through the entire tribulation, and it's because they think, well, who are we that we can escape the wrath of God? In the Old Testament, so many were martyred for their faith. Well, because we're in the age of grace. There are Christians being martyred for their faith around this world, just not here in this country, right? But it's getting pretty close to that. What I'm saying is that it's interesting to study the book of Revelation, but don't allow fear to grip you because of the unknown and because of what's coming. Again, when we read, we clearly come to the conclusion that God reveals that his church isn't here for that. The bride of Christ is gone. Born-again believers raptured out. Those that are saved during the age of grace are not here for that seven-year tribulation. Right? But again, it's a very interesting thing, and it really causes us to think, wow, even though right now it seems like evil is just running rampant and wicked is just able to do whatever it wants, yet Revelation shows us, oh, the right judge is going to judge at the appropriate time. And praise the Lord that we're not here for that. All right, let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your goodness this morning. We do thank you for the truths in your scripture, truths that will guide us through our life, truths that will help us to see, Lord, the need just to even continue to tell others about Christ, knowing what is coming. Lord, it may be 20, 30, 50 more years. But as we just see things unfolding in our world and in the time living, we just see it advancing closer and closer to what the Bible describes in Revelation. Father, we know our time is short. No matter how long we have, it's short compared to eternity. And Father, we ask that you would continue to help us to be encouraged in our faith. Help us to continue to give people a reason to ask of the hope that lies within us. And help us to always be ready to give that reason. Father, we ask that you would continue to bless our time. Help us, Lord, to continue to lift you up in our hearts, to draw close unto you this morning, and to listen to what you have for us. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we've got about 10 minutes.